So many of you know, we just finished probably about 3.5 months or so going through the book of Nehemiah. We completed that last week. And I wanted to kind of take a moment and consider as we're coming into September, there's something nice about September. I love the summer. I love the things are a little bit lax and you have a little bit more permission to kind of be, you know, about your business. And usually something happens to me towards the end of August. I start getting antsy and kind of wanting some structure and some little bit of expectations, right? And that's kind of what September brings as all the kiddies head back to school and things are just kind of becoming a little bit more predictable. And before we start filling in our calendar with events and things that we're going to do, I want to kind of take a moment and consider why do we go to church? Why do we prioritize the house of God on a Sunday morning? I don't know about you, but I remember many times going to church and going to church and thinking, I hope it's not going to be a message that makes me feel guilty. Should love those. Well, here's some good news. You're already here. So that there's nothing this morning that's going to make you feel guilty. You're already here, right? Mission accomplished. You're already in the house of God. What I want to do is I want us to take some time and consider why. Why do we come into the house of God? Why is it important to prioritize the house of God? And the title of my message this morning is, It's How We Roll. It's how we roll. Because you see, every church has different priorities and different values, and that doesn't make them wrong. It just kind of makes them, right? And so we want to kind of take a moment and consider just some of the things that make integrity what it is. And we were kind of talking about it amongst our pastors. We're like, well, all right, cool. So who wants to preach this one? And everybody did. And so we thought, all right, cool, let's do this. Let's do something we've never done before. We're going to have all five pastors going to preach this morning. And so I hope that you've got plenty of time this morning. If you've got a roast in the oven, just consider it a burnt offering to Jesus. And we are going to talk about why church, right? What is it about church? What is the reason that we come into the house of God? And I want to start off by saying this, that the church is a connecting place. It's a connecting place. First of all, it's a place that we connect with God. It's a place that, you know, it's unlike, I mean, I know, I get it. We can connect with God at home, right? I hope we do that. We can connect with God at work. We connect with God in our car. And all that's great. I recognize that he is always with me. He'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. I get that. But there's something special about when the people of God gather in the sanctuary. When we come into the presence of the Lord, there's a uniqueness when the people of God come and prioritize God's house. And it's in those moments that we recognize when we come into God's house that we're the guest and he's the host. That he is the purpose for which we gather. It is creation recognizing the creator and recognizing that he is worthy of all of my praise and certainly of all of my time. There's a point at which I'm able to connect with God on levels that, just to be quite honest with you, I don't experience when it's just one-on-one. There's those moments where I gather and I'm connecting with God. And so the church is a place to connect with God, but also it's a place to connect with one another. It's as we come together and as the people of God, there's just something special when God's people gather together. You know, it's interesting how many times we will pray to God for provision. We will pray to God for wisdom in a specific direction. We will ask God to help us in a specific area. And most of the time, the way in which God answers that prayer is through people. People bring the wisdom. People bring the direction. People bring the provision. People have the opportunity to be God's hands. And when we gather as the people of God, there's a reminder that man, we're a part of something that goes way back, that's bigger than us. We join with a company of redeemed people that have held tightly to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we recognize that whatever's going on around us is really secondary to who's on the inside of us. And when we connect with one another, there's just something special. How many times, if you're out of state or overseas, we were just in the Bahamas back in April, you know, because you sent us there. And But it was so cool. We connected with a Christian that was there. And it was like he was one of the natives from the area. And we started talking. And first we started talking because they wanted to take us on a tour, right? But the moment we started talking about Jesus, it was like we were family. There was just an instantaneous connection. There was a relationship that was established that went beyond just a regular relationship. And when the people of God come together, there's a connection that goes deeper than blood sometimes. And when we're connecting with one another, God allows us to speak into each other's lives to bring hope and encouragement and blessing to one another. And so the church is a connecting place.
Sorry. The church is also a teaching place. We see the Apostle Paul and his instruction towards his son in the faith, Timothy. And he writes in 1 Timothy that the church is the pillar and buttress of the truth. It's the pillar and buttress of the truth. It is what upholds the truth. And we live in a postmodern society where truth is delivered more like an opinion rather than a fact. And so it's our call as the Church of Jesus Christ to uphold the truth. Well, how can we uphold truth we are not taught? And it's important that we recognize that this is a teaching place, that we come here and engage. And part of the worship experience, part of worship, is actually submitting to teaching, is opening up the Word of God and engaging as we look to learn and get to know the lover of our souls that much more. It is important that we see it as an act of worship to not just take the pastor's word for it, but to go and search the scriptures just like the Bereans did and ensure that you were digging deeper into the Word of God. And you could read your Bible at home. In fact, you should read your Bible at home and consistently study the Word of God. But it is here that we gather corporately to learn, to grow deeper, because there are people around you here who God is going to use to teach you something new as well, that maybe he's not looking to teach you alone in your room while you're studying. You know, years ago, the U.S. Treasury, when they had issues with counterfeit bills, they put a team of people together that they trained to spot these counterfeits. And if I were them, what I would have done was tried to get every single counterfeit bill I possibly could so that we could study and know exactly what to look for among the counterfeits. But what they discovered is actually more effective is they taught these people the real thing. They had them study real bills so well. They knew every angle, every corner, every single perspective of these bills that no matter what new counterfeits came out, they were immediately able to spot that it was a counterfeit. Listen, the Church of Jesus Christ is God's plan A for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around us, and there is no plan B. Let us be the pillars and buttress of the truth. Amen? Well, the church is also a healing place, and Pastor Frank is going to share that with you all, but he's actually filling pulpit right now in Fire Island. So let's be thankful that the church is also a technologically advanced place. Check this out.
When I think about the ministry that Jesus has left for us and how he reached out and he touched the oppressed and he came to bind up the brokenhearted and those that are wounded in spirit, he left that ministry with us, that we're to represent him in the way that we reach out to people. And so a story that comes to mind is found in the Gospels and Mark chapter 1, verse 40. It says there was a man that had leprosy that came to Jesus. And he fell at Jesus' feet. And he said to Jesus, if you're willing, make me clean. And verse 41 says that Jesus reached out and touched him and said, be clean. And the man was healed. It wasn't the touch that healed the man. It was the words of Jesus. But that touch was so important because we don't know how long it had been since that man had been touched. He had a condition that people stayed away from him. He used to have to run down the street and yell out, "Unclean, unclean." And it was very obvious that he was quarantined and made to live alone. But Jesus wasn't afraid to reach out and touch him. And I think that he's left that ministry with us. And so as we go forward as a church, we want to be a place of healing. We want to be a place that really represents Jesus in this way. There's an old song that I grew up and used to sing. I really didn't understand it, but I understand it more now. And the chorus went, "Just to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch Jesus so that I may know him and others may be blessed." So out of our lives and out of our ministry and out of our church should come healing. We should be a place that's known for healing, embracing those that are wounded emotionally, spiritually, physically. And I just want to close with an illustration from Bill Hybels, and it goes like this. He says it this way: "I never want to reach out with a soft, uncalloused hand, a hand that's never been dirtied by serving, and embrace the nail-pierced hand of Jesus." Let's be a church that brings healing to those that are wounded.
Thank you, Pastor Frank. He's just certainly with us in spirit this morning. The church, in order to be a healing place, needs to be a safe place as well. And unfortunately, I'm sure I could go around the room and find a bunch of stories of people who came out of churches that were not safe. But that's not the way God designed it. God prescribed that our church, our family, should be a safe church. A church that when you walk in, you're feeling welcomed. A church that it feels like home, like you could just let your hair down. And some people can let down more than others, certainly, but that's a good thing, you know? That's why we just share. Don't you wish you could do that? Give me some of that. A safe church is a church that accepts you for who you are, right where you're at. You can come here, warts and all, and we will accept you. But we're not going to leave you in that place because we love you too much, right? So it's a place that you can grow because you can come here and just be the person that you are at that moment and let God transform you through the love of the others in this church. It's a place where we're more interested in who you are as opposed to what you can do. That's why very often if somebody comes into the church who's new, we're not going to put you to work right away. We want you to just sit down, get to know who we are so that you can feel comfortable and just knowing that it's not about your gifts, it's about you. You are special and important to us. It's also a place that you don't have to hide your problems. I tell you, one of the greatest tactics of the enemy to keep us in bondage to our sin is to make us feel shame about something that we think in our mind, something that we act upon, those sins that can just so easily beset us. But I'll tell you, as we come together as a church family and provide a safe and trusting environment, people can be set free from those bondages. And that is certainly something that God is calling us to do in this place. 1 Peter 4:8 says this: "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." I tell you, I've met some people who were going through really difficult things, and I'm so glad that they had enough faith to come to me, and I know that other pastors and other people in our congregation have experienced the same thing. When someone comes to you with something, we're able to just to embrace them and let them know that, hey, you know what? No sin is too great to be forgiven from. And as we move forward from that, we can just have a peace that there's no other way to have a peace unless you have that safe environment to experience it. Amen. One other thing that I love that Pastor Tony set forward right from the very beginning is that this is not a place of gossip. And I am so blessed. I never hear gossip in this place. And it's just a great testimony of what leadership can do, setting a tone that we can all follow. Right? Amen. And so as we know, the church should be a safe place, and it will only be as safe as our commitment to be loving, to be gracious, to be forgiving, and to be wholeheartedly committed to God and his people. Amen.
The church is also a diverse place. And anybody in this room who, unless this is your first church, can see that there's definitely, we've come together from different backgrounds, right? We've come together from different denominations, from different historical backgrounds. Hey, we've come together from different races, right? No, see, I got you. See, we're all from the same race, right? The human race. But we do come from different cultures and different nationalities and different backgrounds and different ways in which we think is the right way to do what it is that we do, right? You know, we even come from different age groups. And when you look at the church, the Big C church, and you kind of look around, especially at the American church, you'll tend to see churches that are more geared towards the younger ones or the older ones, right? And you look and, oh, that's an older church. They're like, you know, I'm not going to put numbers because that's dangerous. Like, oh, and this is geared towards younger people. This is a younger church. And what I love about our church and the diversity that we look to celebrate here is we long to be intergenerational. That's important. That's powerful, right? It's important that we understand that all of our different backgrounds, whether it be denomination, culture, nationality, age, life experience, that we all bring something to the table that we all really do need from one another. And now let me be really, really clear about something. And that is, you know, many people will push the idea of negating our differences. Well, you know, we should be colorblind. Or okay, well, you know, we should just ignore what makes us different and focus on the things that we have in common. And I would say that that's the wrong approach. I would say that as Christians, we should actually celebrate those differences, celebrate those unique things, but never allow walls to be put up between us because of those things. We shouldn't downplay them, but we should upplay them. In fact, the way that we see the Apostle Paul laying this out is he tells us that our younger Christians in the faith shouldn't be avoiding our older ones, going, well, that's the last generation. They did church this way. They don't know what they're talking about. King James Version. Okay?
I like the Message.
Right? Yeah. Listen, what we need to be doing is engaging intergenerationally, learning from one another. Hey, young people, go find somebody in this church who's been loving Jesus for probably three times the amount of time you've been alive, and ask them, hey, what do I do in the good times? Why do I feel like I could rely more on myself in the good times? What's up with that? What do I do in the bad times when I feel like God's disappeared? Mentor me. Hey, older generation, find yourself a young person who's got that energy, somebody who's a lot like Pastor Taylor, right? And see that energy and that zeal as not something to be crushed as we get more theological, but as something that we steer. And we celebrate. Let's look to be intergenerational. Let's look to celebrate our diversity. Because when you look in Revelation, what's going on around the throne is you have every tribe, every tongue, every nation. No more wars, no more tears, no more walls. Just simply unity. And let me tell you, what mankind has strived for from the beginning was finding this idea of unity within diversity. But the Church of Jesus Christ is the only living example of that. Everywhere else, when you want unity, guess what? You have to think like us, act like us, conform, conform, conform. The Church of Jesus Christ is the only living example that we see of unity within diversity. Let's celebrate being a diverse church as we worship our Lord together. Amen? Pastor Taylor.
This one's very serious. The church is a fun place. I get to do like the Kevin Hart spiel. It's great. You do you, boo-boo. But the church is a fun, fun place. And the Apostle Paul tells us a few times throughout the epistles, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And God isn't just concerned with us parsing scripture together and sitting with our glasses up with tape and stuff and going through the word day in and day out, but he has allowed us to have joy in him and to see that in each other. Having some of the most beautiful moments and most wonderful people that we can meet in our lives through him together because we are the living organism of the church. So some of the most fun I've ever had in my life, whether I'm pulling pranks on certain people in the church, I'm sorry, Pastor Vinny, or other people throughout time. Sorry, AG, for that time I posted No Age Your Car. But there are so many great things. So whether you're strumming notes on your instruments together at home or whether you're breaking bread together or getting coffee or doing your activities or going to McDonald's on Wednesday morning or whatever it is that you do together in good fun can show you the Lord's joy together as a church, because the church is a fun, fun place where we could walk in and know that we could laugh with and sometimes at one another. At in good fun, never anything malicious. But the church is always meant to be a fun place. And even the Lord himself, we see him in scripture going to weddings, enjoying life activities together, and just doing things with a smile. You know, it's not always so humdrum, sit and parse and do this and do that and sit and do your prayers in the morning or whatever it is that you do. But we can enjoy Jesus truly and see him through each other, through laughter, activity, and in my case, little jokes on Connect cards. But the church isn't just a fun place, it's a launching place.
I got one. Thanks, yeah. How many are thinking Taylor's having some fun? We love the fact that you have fun. That's good. He's a fun guy to be around, tough to keep up with, right? Full of energy. And the other thing of the church is that the church is a launching place. It's a launching place. It's a place from whence we move out from and do the one thing that Jesus said to us that we should do right before he ascended into heaven. He said what? Go into all the world and make disciples. You see, the church does a lot of things, and that's great. I love the fact that we're a connecting place and a teaching place and a safe place and a diverse place and a fun place. It's good that we come and we gather with one another and we celebrate with one another. That's great. But we also need to recognize that the church doesn't exist for itself. But the church exists to then take the message of Jesus Christ to the world around us. Every single one of us has been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us is called to be a missionary for Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. You see, the reality of it is that if you're here this morning, you say, you know what, I get it, I like the teaching, I like the music, I just don't like to talk about my faith. I would challenge you this morning and consider this is the one area that Jesus calls every one of us to do. We are called to be a missionary, to be a light in dark places, to be the salt of the earth. You see, Jesus could have saved us and just took us home, but he didn't. He saved us. And he called us to remain and to literally be Jesus to the world around us, to be his hands, to be his heart, to serve, to come alongside, to touch the broken, to meet the needs of the needy. And you see that the church is the place, yeah, we need to come sometimes, and sometimes we're broken. Sometimes we need to really draw from the fact that the church is a healing community. Sometimes we need to find that place that's a safe place. I get that. There's a season for us to come and mend. But it's to mend for the purpose of going. The church is a teaching place, but there's a reason for the teaching. You see, the idea is to grow so that we can go into all the world. It's the mission that every one of us are on. And Jesus calls and invites each and every one of us to be missionaries for Jesus. The church is a launching place. in each and every one of us in our own style. And as Pastor Vinny said, the diversity is a beautiful thing to celebrate. Each one has their unique personalities, their unique styles. It's what makes us us. And some people can get up and they can clearly articulate, you know, the whole gospel story. But that's not necessarily what you need to do. Sometimes the best testimony is, hey, listen to what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what God's like. It's Andrew who reaches out to his brother Peter on the boat and says, come and see Jesus who I've met, right? Peter was the one, Peter never lacked words. But Andrew's just like, hey man, just come and see. And so we all have different ways in which we can reach the world around us. But every one of us have the opportunity, indeed the responsibility, to take Christ to the world around us. Paul says to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Do you realize what you have when you have Christ? Could you imagine a person finding the cure for cancer and not wanting to share it with anybody because that's just not his thing? And yet you and I have the hope of the world. You and I have the remedy for the broken society in which we live. Paul said it this way. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We have the cure for a broken community and a broken humanity. And so as we consider what the church is, we recognize the church is many things. It's a connecting place. It's a teaching place. It's a healing place, a safe place, a diverse place. But man, it's a launching place. It's to take that which we have been freely recipients of and share it with the world around us. It's to that we're called. And it is to that that we will be held accountable for, by the way. And so as we consider what the church is, let's remember, we come so we can go. We get filled so we can pour out. We learn so we can share. We have fun so we can continue to extend it to the world around us. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. It wasn't speaking about heaven. It's speaking about right here, right now. And so the church is a launching place. Pastor Tom.
And the church is also a heavenly place. I tell you, when we come into this place together and we lift our voices up to God, we are just reminded of what heaven is going to be like. All tribes, all tongues, all people, just lifting up their voices, telling God how awesome he is. I tell you, there is no place I'd rather be than with you all here on a Sunday morning. When I'm playing the drums back there, sometimes I just feel like I want to jump out of my skin. And I just, you know, especially if I see somebody like this, it's like, what? Come on! We're serving an awesome God here. We're declaring his greatness. Don't you know what he's done for you? I tell you, what an awesome taste of heaven we get as we spend time together. And you know, it's not only what's going on here, it's what's going on in heaven as well. The angels are singing antiphonally back and forth to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. How awesome it is to know that we're joining with angels in praising our God together. I tell you, it can't be experienced any other way. I know it's great to have the internet and all, but if you could be down here, be down here. I'm sorry, I know, honey, you can't be here with your busted leg and bad back, but we're missing you. And anybody who else is watching, whenever you can be here, because it really makes such a difference when you hear the voices of people right next to you worshiping along with you. There's nothing more encouraging. So as we come into worship here, we are entering into his gates with thanksgiving. And then we're able to just tell God, you know, we're sorry for the things that we've done against him, and we can receive forgiveness from him. And then sometimes we just fall flat out on our faces and say, God, you are so awesome. so mighty. And it really changes our perspective, because on this earth, you know, things can really get us down. But when we think about eternity, knowing that this time is just but a vapor, as the Lord tells us, it really gives us hope and encouragement. And you know what? It's just not singing that we do our worship and do our are reminded of heaven, but we're also reminded as we do work, because God created us for good works. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures, in the beginning, he told Adam, and he took that you need to work. The scriptures say that he took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. We were designed to enjoy work that we do. And I'll tell you, if you ever want to get a little taste of people working and heaven at the same time, come on down to this church on a Saturday morning and see the cleaning crew cleaning up this place. I tell you, there's just an incredible joy. And I love it when I just come down and see them doing what they're doing. They're always smiling. Even with a bad leg, Maurice got a bad leg. Half of our cleaning crew's got some physical ailment that makes it difficult to do what they do, but they're there anyway. And just it's just such a great sense of fellowship as they spend time together. You know, just a little bit of taste of heaven there. So church is definitely a heavenly place because it brings perspective to our lives. And I'm telling you, as we just focus on our God, and we're reminded that we have an innate desire in each one of us for heaven. And as we come together and experience that, there's no better place to be. God bless you. And just remember, what you have here is something very, very special.
Amen. Amen. So the church is also a miraculous place, because you just saw five pastors preach on under 35 minutes. So that's a miracle in and of itself. Each of these things, I know we didn't go deeply theological this morning with you, but you know what? In a practical sense, and in a very real sense, in a very community-driven sense, it's good to take a moment of pause and to consider, what is this all about? Why do we prioritize the house of God? And why do we come on a regular basis to enjoy God's presence with one another? And the church is all of those things. It's a connecting place. It's a teaching place, a healing place. It's a safe place. It's a diverse place. It's a fun place, a launching place, and a heavenly place. And there's so many other things that I'm sure if we had time this morning that we could use to identify that. But my guess is that's why you're here this morning. I know I'm singing to the proverbial choir when I talk about the importance of coming to church, because you're here. But sometimes it's good to take a step back and consider why. Because sometimes we can get into the rut of going to church because it's the thing to do, right? Does that ever happen to anybody at all? Is this like, you know, right? Yeah, we can kind of forget why we do what we do. And when we kind of get into that ritualistic approach to our Christianity, we really don't connect with God the way we really could. And we don't connect with one another. And we don't experience all the other benefits that we have before us in the house of God. And so we come with a purpose. As I shared earlier, the reality is we have been freely given much from Jesus. And the church being a launching place is the place from which we go out and we gather those who don't know him. Next week is what they consider National Back to Church Sunday week. I don't know who made that up. I don't know what marketing scheme, I'm sure, whoever, you know. But you know what? It's become one of those things that has become well known. And so we thought, you know what? Wait, let's kind of ride that wave a little bit. And let's talk about the fact that next week is the week that people recognize, hey, it's time to re-engage, right? Summer's over. Routine is kind of getting back in place. And so let's start getting back to church. Now, you're already here. You're a week early. You've been coming all summer long. God bless you. So I really kind of want to spin that a little bit and kind of focus our attention, not after those certainly who are already in churches, right? We're not looking to grow a church by pulling from other places where people are growing. But I want us to consider, who do you know that hasn't come into salvation, into a salvation relationship with Jesus? What broken people are in your life that need healing? Who has not found their place in God. We all have circles of influence, people that we interact with on a regular basis that don't know Jesus. So I'd encourage you to bring them on out next week. I'd encourage you to invite them on out and kind of be the come and see evangelist that Andrew was for Peter. And say, hey, why don't you come on out next Sunday to our church? We're going to just have a time together, and we're going to give them the most important thing they'll ever need. It's not good music. It's not a bagel, although that is important. It is not just fresh coffee, but it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the hope of the world. You see, the church without the gospel is a social club. And so the only thing the church really has, see, the church without a gospel doesn't change culture. It doesn't change society. But you employ the gospel as the means by which life change happens. And you know what you start seeing? Life change. Now, if we could take that life change and start thinking about faces, family members, friends, coworkers, people that you know that don't know Christ, we recognize our opportunity to invite them. Come and see that God is alive and he's got a plan and purpose for your life. So Father, we thank you for the church of Jesus Christ. Lord, integrity is far from the best church or the perfect church. But we thank you, Father, that you have saw fit to bring us together. And that, Lord, out of our inadequacies, you have developed a safe place for us to grow and love on you and love on one another, and then to go out from here and reach the world. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that for each one here this morning, that you would put somebody on our heart. Somebody that we know that if they die today, they would not be with you in heaven. And I pray that the burden of that reality would cause us to pray for them, invite them, and bring them so that they might find you as the lover of their souls. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that is before us. We thank you for the commission to reach the lost that you've entrusted into our care. May we be found faithful, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.